Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. So, Joe, we've spent a lot of time talking about the Titans' defense, deservedly so. After that performance last night against the LA Rams, the defense was awesome. What did we think of the offense? Where, as you mentioned earlier, 194 total yards, not a lot got done on the offensive side of things last night. There were some big moments. A.J. Brown with some big catches, Julio Jones with some big plays in the game as well, but not a ton out there offensively for the Titans last night. You look at the rushing attack, Deontay Foreman, 5 carries, 29 yards. McNichols, 7 carries, 24 yards. Adrian Peterson, 10 carries, 21 yards. And, of course, the touchdown to really seal the game at the end of things. What did you make of the way the Titans operated offensively last night and what they brought to the table in their first game without Derrick Henry against, albeit, a very good LA Rams front, especially?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly wasn't pretty. I mean, it's probably going to be in a lot of ways the least productive, offensive game of the year. I mean, well, certainly the Titans hope so. You know, they were 4-12 on third down. Tannehill had the bad pick early. He ends up, very controlled passing, very get the ball out fast. And I think that as soon as the Titans knew that Taylor Lewan wasn't going to go, I think that immediately changes how you look at things. I mean, Bobby Hart has come in here, done a pretty good job for a guy that you just bring in and say, hey, go play left tackle in the NFL for us. Thank you. But that's just – there's a difference even in, I think, Tannehill's internal clock when he does or doesn't have Lewan. And then, of course, you take Nate Davis out as well. I think between that and losing Derrick Henry, it was a very different offense. I thought that Foreman had some real nice moments. You can see when he gets going downhill, it was somewhat like last year when they had him for a little bit. He can bring some power to the run game. You know, McNichols got to the edge and had another nice night, 3 catches plus the 7 for 24, and then Peterson never really got out of there. He just never could really shake loose. I mean, it's just hard to tell with him. Like it's first game back, just came, back into the league a few days ago. Was talking after the game about how, Dancing with the Stars was on the table and, he will do that someday, but he wanted to keep himself available for the NFL. It's hard to know moving forward. A huge thing is the offensive line. And then does a pecking order emerge with the backs? I still suspect that McNichols probably is more of a third down role as things move forward, as long as the other two guys are playing well. And I think you make the case last night that Deontay Foreman should maybe get the ball a little bit more.
Yeah, 5 carries, 29 yards, 5.8 a carry last night for Deontay Foreman. Ran, I think, really physically, ran hard. Look, I mean, I think it's pretty apparent, and we knew this coming into it, you're not going to replace the production in the running game that Derrick Henry gave you. I mean, you're just not. And, it's the LA Rams. They've got a good front. Obviously, without Taylor Lewan in there, without Nate Davis in there, that's a pretty big deal for your running game as well. So, certainly some opportunities as the schedule moves ahead for the Titans to get better in the running game. I will say, they made some plays last night, to capitalize. I thought the drive to go up 28-9 was huge. I mean, putting the game away on that drive was a big deal. There were some plays they left on the table last night. Like, I think Deontay Foreman did a really good job. There was one play last night where Marcus Johnson gets the ball on a reverse, and Jalen Ramsey's right there. Deontay Foreman has an opportunity to block him and just totally whiffs. I mean, that's a 7-yard loss on that play that if Jalen Ramsey's blocked, that's a first down probably for Marcus Johnson on that play. And then you've got A.J. Brown, as good as he's been the last few weeks. I mean, 2 drops last night. A.J. Brown, and I said this on Twitter, you got to stop having these games with the drops he's taken over if you're going to be an elite wide receiver in this league. You just have to. And A.J. Brown left a couple of those on the table last night as well.
Yes, he did. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, he's got to catch, I think, especially the second one there was a big play that moves the chains. If you catch that, it was actually a really good play by Stafford to get him the ball over the middle and just dropped it. So, yeah, that's a play that's left on the field. You know, that reverse you're talking about, it's one of those things where your instant reaction is, what are you doing running that play? Because it was second and one. But, yeah, if Deontay Foreman just gets a tiny piece of his guy,
yeah,
that's a good play for the Titans. Yeah, I mean, you look at their offensive. I mean, they came right out. You know, you had the pick on the first play, then you had a three and out, then you had a three and out. You know, so like early on, they were doing nothing offensively at all. You get the gimme touchdown, one play, right? But they finally put together a drive, 14 plays, 7:39 off the clock, which ends in the Tannehill bootleg. And that's when you finally started to see, okay, life after Derrick Henry, you can still do some things. And, you know, from there, they had a six-play drive, another six-play drive, a three and out, an eight-play drive. You know, none of those resulted in points. But at that point, you're up big, and you really are just playing a clock game. And then, like you said, that seven play 59 yard drive, 30 of those yards, those two, you know, roughing the passer penalty. So the Rams helped for sure some, but it really was one of those games where once you made those huge plays defensively, you're trying to do enough, keep the clock going and move the chains, possess the ball a decent amount. And so we'll see. It's hard. I mean, there's going to be games where, for as well as the defense played last night, you know, that you're just going to need a lot more from your offense without question. But I guess the good thing, I guess you could look at it like you know, we may not know a ton even by the playoffs, you know, based on the schedule ahead, but there's some tough games like the game at New England, the game at Pittsburgh. I mean, those are going to be tough games that you're going to want to be able to run the ball to some degree to have a chance in those games, probably.
What did you think of the A.J. Brown, Jalen Ramsey stuff last night? A lot of Titans fans, even on our text line right now, and especially as the game's going on last night, thought that the Titans maybe got hosed a little bit with Jalen Ramsey and the unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. You go back to Ramsey's interception, and, I mean, there's no question about it. The referee calls unsportsmanlike conduct. It's unsportsmanlike conduct on the game sheet for two quarters, and then Jalen Ramsey gets called for another unsportsmanlike conduct, and they changed the call. Now, you know, I didn't really agree at the time with it being unsportsmanlike conduct on Jalen Ramsey after the original interception. Probably just a personal foul penalty at that point. But what did you think of that whole situation? Do you think Jalen Ramsey should have been ejected from the game?
Yeah, I mean, and John Glennon gets credit for pointing this out. The official, they said it, and it was officially in the books that it was an unsportsmanlike,
yep,
on Jalen Ramsey in the first time. So, yeah, once those guys had offsetting, by the letter of the law, he should have been out of the game. And then you go back, like in the official scoring, and there's, you know, a website where you have live following along with the live scoring, that it got changed to unnecessary roughness. Yeah. So
that went over well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's really no excuse for it. I mean, it would have been a shame, obviously, for someone to be ejected for that level of stuff, because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't crazy stuff. I mean, Jalen Ramsey is kind of like Draymond Green, right? Officials are attuned to him, and I don't think it takes long at all for a flag to come out. So I guess you could argue, you know, it shouldn't have been too unsportsmanlike, but technically it was, and he was still allowed to stay in the game. And then, of course, after the game, A.J. Brown had some very good comments, very interesting comments about Jalen Ramsey. That was fun. I mean, that's an elite matchup. And A.J. Brown declared Jalen Ramsey the winner on that. I don't know if I necessarily agree, but as you said, you know, a couple plays there that he's got to make.
Yeah, got to catch the ball, and certainly it's never boring with Jalen Ramsey out there. I will definitely give him that. But lots of people on the text line today very upset that Jalen Ramsey remained in that game. Luckily for the Titans, it did not matter. They win anyway. They improved to 7-2 on the season. And now the question is this. Did we undersell this Titans team even without number 22 in the backfield? Do they still have a claim to the best team in the AFC? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was A.J. Brown after the game last night discussing the matchup with Jalen Ramsey. I will say Jalen Ramsey does a pretty good job of getting in people's head, talking a lot of trash, and Jalen Ramsey appeared to do that again last night with A.J. Brown. I wouldn't say that, you know, he totally just like shut A.J. Brown down or anything. I mean, A.J. Brown doesn't drop two balls, and he's probably got seven catches on the night for – what he ended up with. He ended up with 5 for 42. If he catches those two balls, he's probably at 7 for 70 or whatever the case may be. But Jalen Ramsey, obviously a pretty popular topic of conversation last night. Although, I got to say, I feel like in today's NFL, Joe, not enough war of words. I'm here for it between A.J. Brown and Jalen Ramsey. Need a little bit more of
it. Yeah, good stuff. AJ, it was probably good that A.J. Brown clarified like he wasn't trying to like actually invite a fight, you know. He's like, it's not a threat, by the way.
Meet in the parking lot of SoFi Stadium.
Yeah. See, Jalen Ramsey, yeah, he does get, I think he can get in people's heads, but I also think that he sometimes gets outside his game. At least it seems that way. Yep. Like, you know, sometimes it's like, man, calm down, you know. But he did a good job. I mean, so last night Tannehill had one of that must have been a clock, but so he's 19 and 27. But in terms of, you know, targeting receivers, he had 26 passes targeted toward receivers. Yeah, that's what he threw one away, threw one out of bounds. 19 completions, so seven targets that were incompleted, six of them to A.J. Brown. So basically, everybody else targeted. Julio Jones targeted four times, four catches. Swaim four. McNichols three. Westbrook Akina. Let's not forget that big 14-yard catch.
Yeah, buddy.
Anthony Firkser, nice 7-yard catch there. No touchdowns once again.
Bringing the noise.
I don't know that Ramsey gets credit for all those incompletions on targets, A.J. Brown. Like you said, too, were drops. But I'd say some of that is a reflection of, you know, that it's just much harder to complete passes on whoever he's covering. I also think it's good, although they had the pick early, that the Titans didn't just completely abandon wherever he was. And I think you really limit yourself if you do that.
So, Joe Rexroad, we've talked about what the national media response has been. I mean, even on the – and I know you probably didn't see this since you were actually at the game, but even on the halftime coverage last night, I mean, there was a whole lot of, this is an absolute stunner on NBC Sports from – Tony Dungy and from Drew Brees, and there's been a lot of that even after the game in terms of, you know, I told you I was listening to Keyshawn and Jay Will and Max this morning. Not really a whole lot of credit being given to the Titans. So we know what the national response has been thus far. I ask you, for us here locally, did we undersell the Titans without Derrick Henry? Here they are, 7-2. They just beat maybe the best team in the NFC. I said last week I don't think the Titans can win the one seed without Derrick Henry in the fold. Have we undersold this Tennessee Titans team?
I just think it's as great as last night was, and it was incredibly impressive, and it finishes the stretch, but of course it's only the one game without Derrick Henry. I just think it's too early to say. It really is. I mean, it's clear that it's going to be very different for this offense. And no one should be surprised by that. I mean, that's why he is who he is. That's why he's an MVP candidate, best player on this team. It's just, it is so different having 22 and not having 22. So I'm not ready to say after this one great win, especially with the defense playing like that, you can see a lot of wins on the horizon for this team, but I mean, the question is this a team that can get back out here and get back out to SoFi Stadium in February? And I just think it's way too early to have a feel for the offense. I do think that get the offensive line healthy if you can. And by the way, that's a little bit of a concern with Talaiwan. Like, you know, the knee keeps popping up. I mean, obviously we know he's coming off an ACL and he's had issues earlier this year. But if you get that and Julio Jones, that was big. That's a huge part of it. Is yep. Julio Jones played a whole game. It wasn't some spectacular game, but he had a couple real nice moments there. 13-yarder was a big play to move the chains on, I think, 3rd and 10.
Yep.
Now, then you got more of a chance. And then I just think you have to figure out a pecking order and hope that one of those backs, probably between Foreman and Peterson, really gets into a groove. But again, we're talking about the absolute highest thing. You know, can you be a Super Bowl contender? I'm not sold after last night that this team with that offense can do that. I do think the offense can get a lot better than that, though.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Kinston texting in. Yes, you guys undersold them. The local media had no faith, yet Titans fans only want to talk about how the national media doesn't give us respect. You guys mostly didn't either. It's like people don't realize this is a team sport and we have a good team. Losing Derek hurts, but these guys should, These guys should show detractors as well as fans how good of an organization we have over there, top to bottom. This is coming from Kinston on the text.
Okay. Oh, Kinston. Well, I hope that you're also showing some respect to Jeffrey Simmons, Kinston. Look, I mean, I think the Titans deserve tons of respect for last night's win. Okay. The initial reaction I heard was, man, what a brutal injury. What a devastating thing for this team. And yeah, I mean, I definitely changed how I feel about this team as a Super Bowl contender / Super Bowl winner, which I think was starting to become actually worth discussing. And one great win like that it's one of these things like, do you believe Derrick Henry is that great? Because that's all we've been talking about this year. And I'd say there's pretty strong consensus on that, right? And we're talking about MVP. We're talking about one of the great runs of a running back in the league's history and a guy putting together a Hall of Fame resume. So if you believe all that, then why are you upset if you think that losing that guy or if people say losing that guy is going to hurt your team? I mean, I think that that's pretty basic, right? Great win last night. And I think there's a lot of wins ahead based on the schedule. But, you know, we'll see. If he's not back in January, that's a huge difference between this team with him and without him.
Will from Nashville texting in. Joe and Robbie, to tease out your did we undersell the team question, has the local media undersold the defense? What do you think about that? Have we undersold this defense? I think my initial response to that is this defense, as it's gotten healthier, has just gotten a whole lot better. Like, I think we've seen a lot of improvement on this defense as they moved ahead here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like when like they couldn't stop the Jets in the fourth quarter and overtime of that game, or they really struggled for a lot of the game against Jacksonville. I mean, that defense was not this defense. I mean, they've gotten better. Bud Dupree being able to be back in there, I think, is big. I just think you've got guys like David Long. I mean, look at what David Long has been this year from the beginning to now. His confidence is, you can see it. He's gotten better. Obviously, Byard is having an all pro season. So, yeah, it's like if you're always positive as a fan, then this is the time to dunk on people and say media undersold this or other fans or whatever. And then, if in this league, inevitably you have stumbles, you have bad weeks. So if the Titans lose one of these games, like to the Saints or God forbid, the Jags or something like that, then the fans who are maybe a little bit more on the negative side of things come back with, oh, see, you guys oversold it, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it teams change, and this team, as it played last night, and this defense, as it's played in this stretch, is way better than it was playing earlier in the year. They were giving up big plays, remember?
Right.
Remember, a lot of what was happening was they were kind of doing their stuff, but then, boom, you have a communication error and a big play. I mean, look at Seattle. I mean, that game, they win handily, but they're giving up big play after big play. So they've totally, to me, just locked down with communication. And I mean, it's mostly that, communication and focus. They've taken those away, and you see the difference that makes.
Liam texting in, we have decades of media ignoring us or writing off our wins as other teams having a bad game. It would be nice to get some positive attention. We just want some love. This coming from Liam on the text line. I don't know how much love you're going to get nationally, even now at 7-2.
I think there's been some love nationally, don't you?
Based on the last day from what I've heard. No, I do not.
Well, okay. Well, so the NBC broadcast, but I mean, even, there was love for Derrick Henry for sure. But even I think the Titans being discussed as a contender and things like that on like Good Morning Football and stuff. I mean, it's more than I can recall in the past. I don't know. We'll see. I think the important thing, if you're a Titans fan, is that you can be preoccupied with that stuff. I think the good thing about this team is, and this is like Byard kind of repeated this, like it's not about proving people wrong, you know, thing last night. But I think that they have moved past caring, which is good because they really shouldn't care at all.
Yeah, I think so too. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John from Nashville texts again. How many big wins do they need to get credit for being a Super Bowl contender? This is coming from John in Nashville.
Well, here's the thing. If they won last night and they still had their best player, then I think it would be all absolutely. I mean, they are the favorite for the one in the AFC. They are a legit Super Bowl contender. I think that would be widespread. I think that would be the consensus opinion. You just lost your best player. You had a tremendous win after that. And you had a 26-second stretch where you're down 3-0. You're doing nothing on offense. You just don't know how it's going to go. Can you keep playing good D against the Rams? And boom, you're up 14-3 in 26 seconds of game time on two huge plays, including two awful, awful plays by the opposing quarterback. Good for you. Great win. But, like, I still think it's fair to say right now, let's see this offense moving forward for a while and how it looks without 22.
We'll continue the discussion on the text line. Got a lot more of your thoughts to get to. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Keep them coming. We'll get to as many as we can throughout the show here today on Robbie and Rexford. When we come back, we'll switch gears for a little bit, talk to a little bit of Vols and Kentucky. Michelle Knezevic's favorite topic over the weekend. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, what a beautiful song. What a beautiful jam here on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Rocky Top playing strong after a big win for Tennessee on Saturday night against Kentucky. The Vols get it done. In a barn burner, 45-42, the final score. Defense need not apply in that game between Tennessee and Kentucky. But at the end of the day, the Vols get it done. They go on the road for their first ranked win since 2018. Since I believe the Vols also took down Kentucky, was their last ranked win as well. Michelle Knezevic, this was a big weekend for you and I. A nice wager on the line of the winner wearing the T-shirt of the opposing team. And I'm here to say, that orange Tennessee shirt, it looks pretty good on you. Way to go.
Yeah, everybody on Twitter is like, we love the Vols. And I'm like, okay, how many hours left in this show? How many? And I got orange hair and the orange shirt, and I got a spray tan. So I'm just an orange this morning.
It's good stuff.
Spray tan. Nice.
Yeah. You know, it's getting cold here. Winter's coming, guys. We're not all in L.A., Joe.
That's true.
Yeah, I got a lot of sun out here, let me tell you.
I'm sure you did.
Over the weekend, yeah. A lot of sunbathing. It was so that shirt, Robbie, is that something you purchased for this?
No.
Okay.
I had it in mind. I actually had another one in mind as well, which is like basically a starter Tennessee jacket from like 1998 that I almost brought in, but I went with this shirt instead. I didn't want to go too bad on her.
I was going to bring you in a crop top that was like bedazzled.
Well, maybe I should have gone with the starter jacket, this bright orange starter jacket.
Yeah, we need more bets like this and for Robbie to lose one so we can see.
Yeah, I mean.
What Michelle has in store for him. But I guess you guys should.
If you're relying on Kentucky football to beat Tennessee football, it's going to be a long time for this bet to take place.
Listen, I knew it was going to be a bad game. A bunch of our friends are from UT in Kentucky, and we had like a big like watching party or whatever at our friend's house, and the game was on the TV, and I was talking, it was like right before it started, and what, 10 seconds into the game, I turn my head and I'm like, wait, what? It just started. How is it 7-0? I was just like, and then I was heated, and I'm really not a good loser. So I was dreading this morning. But I took 24 hours to mourn the loss. Then the Titans win definitely helped. And hey, I've got Kentucky basketball this week. So.
Oh, yeah, we've moved on to basketball season out there with with Catter Days now. It's good stuff.
That's right.
Hendon Hooker, pretty outstanding in this game for the Vols. 15 of 20, 316 yards through the air, 4 touchdowns, as well added another 41 yards on the ground. Interesting offensive strategy by the Vols. Joe Rexroad, apparently about 15 seconds, that's what they needed, was to score touchdowns in this game. The time of possession, not very much in the Vols' favor, but they didn't care. 45 points anyway, and the defense has just enough to hold on at the very end.
Well, I've never seen, and it, for you know, points of that game, they had a double-digit lead and were like more than double, you know, in terms of plays for Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky ran 99 plays. I think that's a school record, if I'm not mistaken. It was just completely, here's our game plan. We're going to run it, be physical, and kill that clock as much as we can and score. And then the Vols are like, well, if you're going to let us have this big play, I guess we'll take this big play and score, and you can have the ball right back. I mean, I don't even know how the heck the Vols defense made that stand late, given how much they're on the field. I mean, you know, that's usually like that should cost you at that point in the game, but it didn't. Hendon Hooker, just tremendous, man. The guy is, and you know, some big plays with his feet too on a few plays where there was nobody open and he got out of there. And really made something happen. He is what a story, you know, the way he's played. And you know, you give up that 4th and 24 after the stupid, you know, and look, the SEC refs deserve more criticism than Mark Stoops on that penalty. In that time of a game, you can't give him that penalty. I mean, I'm sure there were F-bombs galore, but come on. I mean, that happens a lot. That to me was another example of just bad SEC officiating. But
just ask Kirby Smart.
Yes.
Nice hot mic moment this weekend with Kirby Smart.
Oh, my gosh. I did not see that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's out there. Yeah, I hope the kids weren't watching. But for the Vols to give up the 4th and 24, I was like, oh, boy, that's trouble. But they made the plays, man, to their credit. And that's it. That is, to me, a signature win for Josh Heupel. It's a ranked team. It's on the road. It's a good team. It's a good program. And you are fighting with them for recruits and for standing in the SEC. So I think that's a really big deal.
Bayless Jones Jr., 5 catches, 100 yards. Javonte Payton, you mentioned the big play to start the game. I mean, the first 2 touchdowns for Hendon Hooker, a 75-yarder to Payton, a 72-yarder to Bayless Jones Jr. I think, was it you that tweeted out he was on pace to throw for like 1,800 yards in that game or whatever it was?
Yeah, he was like 3 for 4 for 150.
Pretty good start. Pretty good. It's kind of amazing because you look at Javonte Payton's receiving numbers this year. He's only caught like 15 passes or something like that. And it seems like he makes a play every game. Maybe they should try to find a way to get him the ball a little bit more.
Yeah. What is his average per catch? Like 43 or something? I mean, it's ridiculous. he's like the once or twice a game you get a huge play. It's like, like almost like Alvin Harper used to be with the Cowboys, you know. It's like every once in a while they just throw an 80-yard bomb to him, and then for the most part it's just Michael Irvin all day, or at least that's how I remember it. But
well, all of a sudden, like Cedric Tillman looks like an NFL receiver out there every week. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's the thing. He wasn't really involved, and then late they had some big moments with him, and I still think there's the best chemistry between Hooker and Tillman, you know. And then Hyatt has a big play too. You know, like he's sprinkling the other guys, but you get a little bit more steady diet with Bayless Jones and Cedric Tillman. I tell you, look, you know, I want to overstate anything about this weekend. It's not going to go. Georgia is clearly the one. I don't even know who the heck is number two after watching Alabama. I don't know. And Michigan State, you know, kind of predictable that they fell off, lost to Purdue. Bama should have lost to LSU. I mean, it's Georgia and everybody else. But I still think Tennessee is going to make some plays, and that tempo and the execution, you know, I think that they're going to move the ball between the 20s in this game. You know, can they get into the end zone enough to make it interesting? That's the question.
You calling the upset?
No, I'm not.
I think the city or Knoxville would burn down if that happened.
Yeah, probably so.
Josh Heupel would get a lifetime contract.
Oh gosh.
Oh boy.
That doesn't take long. PJ Fleck, here you go, a huge extension. Oh, then you lost to Minnesota. Or you lost to Illinois. Man, great.
Tough stuff. Jabari Small. I mean, they ran the ball pretty effectively. 145 yards, 5.4 a carry. The touchdown run by Jabari Small and the move that he put on that defensive back was freaking sick. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, but what stinks is that then Small and Tyon Evans late in the game are both out.
Yep.
They can't keep those guys healthy. So Jalen Wright actually had some nice carries late, the freshman. But that's too bad. And, you know, I get the Mays brothers mixed up, but I think it was Cooper who got hurt again, right? Think so. It's too bad they can't keep that group healthy because they need all their best players. And then some, you know, to be competitive this weekend.
And then meanwhile, on the other side, I mean, Wandale Robinson, 13 catches, 166 yards, and a touchdown for Kentucky. At some point, the game plan probably needed to just be, hey, throw the ball to him every play.
Yeah, and Will Levis had some, I mean, my gosh, I've never seen a QB try to hurdle an entire defense every third play like that. He's an athletic, and he makes some big throws, but boy, you can see a little bit with Levis, and kind of like Kyle Tucker was telling us last week, it just there's also some throws you gotta have that he's missing.
Yep.
He's not consistent enough. And yeah, if they had one more guy, because Wandale Robinson is special. My goodness, is it, and Rodriguez too. I don't know if there's a running back who runs harder than that kid. But I mean Kentucky, I'm sorry, all credit to the Vols, the tempo, the execution, Hooker, but boy, that Kentucky defense, what? There were some plays that I would just couldn't believe what I was seeing out there.
I think it's the worst defensive performance I've ever seen.
Wow, ever.
That team play. Wow. Also, can I just put it on record? I had all these Tennessee Vols. We beat the crap out of Kentucky. I said, you beat us by 3. We killed you all. We beat your words I won't say on air. I'm like, guys, it was anyone's game. Is that fair to say, Robbie?
Sure. I mean, it ended the same
way.
Like,
we won
34 out of the last 37 times, but yeah.
The most Kentucky. This is the most Kentucky thing ever. It is.
Losing to Tennessee? Yes.
Yes.
It is. Which is why I was very confident heading into this game and really appreciating the shirt.
Hey, we all got our locks. We all got our locks.
That is true.
We did. We did all get our locks.
Join 102.5 The Game this Wednesday night for the Bud Light Preds Watch Party at Headquarters Beer K. There will be great drink specials, and you can enter to win Preds tickets to an upcoming home game and watch the Preds take on the Dallas Stars. So join us this Wednesday at Headquarters Beer K, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. Puck drops at 7:30. When we come back, it is time for the weekly tradition known as the Rex Rant. That's up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the Rex Rant here on 102.5 The Game. Joe Rex Rhodes Rant of the Week, which you can catch every Monday morning at 7:45. A little wagon wheel bringing us back in, which you can hear in every bar on Broadway as you stroll down the street. I do enjoy Darius Rucker's version of Wagon Wheel. What about you, Rex Rhodes?
Is that what that was? Darius Rucker's?
That's Darius Rucker.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, of the various songs that are played for this segment, that's probably the least annoying one to me.
I almost Komoko or whatever that one is. I almost said that one. Komoko. Wait, what?
Kokomo?
Yeah, that one.
The Komodo dragon? Well, we've lost Michelle. All right.
She's still flustered. She's still flustered about her cats.
She's got a Ryan Poor style laugh going on over there. Joe Rexroad, I turn things over to you for your rant of the week.
Ah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, folks, it's been an interesting few days since Derrick Henry was lost to a broken bone in his foot. A report, by the way, a week ago during this show that came initially from ESPN's Adam Schefter. And in that report, Schefter reported that Derrick Henry is done for the season, season-ending injury. Now, of course, sometimes you know things like that can change. I mean, you break news, a source tells you something, there may be more information that comes later, and that's fine. I mean, something like this, it from the start is speculative by nature. But the interesting thing is that moments later you had a different report. You know, Ian Rappaport, who lost on this, and for anybody who follows NFL news, it's usually one of those two who will break a big story in the league across the league. So Rappaport reported the Titans expect Henry back this season. Okay, now in both cases, a source is going to tell you something, and you go with what the source tells you. And those guys, again, they break tons of news. They have good sources. There can be difference of opinion within sources. But again, you know, things can change. And what became clear pretty early in the Derrick Henry thing is that, like, we don't know. No one knows. So it's been very strange to see Schefter in particular doubling down on his report. So that prompted me to, you know, to kind of double check with some things, including talking to a doctor, but also talking to some sources who were familiar with the situation. And I can report with 100% confidence. I mean, 100%. Okay. That he's wrong. Schefter is wrong. And really Rappaport's wrong too, because the Titans don't know. No one knows. Derrick Henry doesn't know. His doctors don't know. We're weeks away from anyone starting to know. Yet we still have Schefter pushing the done for the season thing, I guess, to have a little slap fight with Rappaport and so he can say, I told you so, if that's how it turns out. Again, I respect these guys. They work hard. They break a lot of news. But, you know, like, if you're a Titans fan, or really if you're any NFL fan who complains when one of these stories happens and the national guy gets it, that your local media doesn't break a story those guys break. Now, think about that for a minute. Now, first of all, why would your team want to give something like this to one local reporter? So then all the other local reporters are ticked off. And if you're someone who complains about that, you should never complain then about soft questions or being soft on your team or things like that. Because typically people who break stories like that are not especially critical of the team in question. It's easier for all these teams to let news break between those two guys. And again, agents are a big part of that. So good for those guys, but man, they need to be better. This has been a bad look, especially for Adam Schefter.
Well, this is really weird, right? Like, why he's continuing to push this narrative, which, as you point out, nobody knows right now. Like, is it possible that Derrick Henry doesn't play again this season? Yeah, I think that's absolutely on the table that he doesn't play again this season. But this, I mean, and Schefter, I mean, he tweeted about it like three times yesterday of him being out the rest of the season, and you're just like, dude, shut up. You have no idea what you're talking about. Like, you have no clue whether or not he's going to be out the rest of the season. So it's been very strange to me to see someone who, again, like you said, I like Adam Schefter. I got a lot of respect for Adam Schefter, but this just constantly pushing that Derrick Henry is going to be out for the remainder of the season when nobody has any idea how his bone is about to heal, to me is just really strange, and I can't for the life of me figure out why this is continuing to be the case with Schefter.
I can't either. Now, I wrote this in The Athletic today. You know, the one exception here where Schefter could be right now is if Derrick Henry or his agent told him, I don't care what the tests show, that's it. We're done. You know, like, we're not going to mess with it.
Does that sound like Derrick Henry to you?
Not at all. And that's not, I mean, again, if that were the case, I would think that the Titans would know this. It's just bizarre. And again, it takes you, you know, you're looking more like a pro wrestler than a journalist when you do stuff like this. Now, another weird thing is he had one tweet where he's like, well, they are holding out hope. So he kind of couched it.
Yeah.
But then he went back to like the season ending. Again, he, like, if I had to guess, had to be pinned down and guess right now, I would probably guess that Derrick Henry's next carry is the start of next season, just because again, purely a guess. I have no idea, but if you're forcing me to, I think certainly everyone involved is going to be very cautious, as they should be, but no one knows at all. Again, the doctors who perform the surgery are very interested to get a bunch of information weeks from now. So it's just weird. And I have to look at it like something between those two, but like, move on and report something else.
Keith on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is more of a Robbie rant segment. Am I coming too strong? Did I infringe on your territory? It's not what I'm trying to do here, Rex wrote.
You are absolutely free to also rant away during these rants. I'm still kind of trying to keep my voice down, although, you know, what is it? It's a 7 minutes to six out here. So I think it's fair if my neighbor, you know, they can get up, you know, come on, folks, up, go get, you know, get a coffee in the lobby. Everything
just scream, tighten up.
Yeah. Rise to the occasion, neighbors of Joe Rex Road in Los Angeles. Joy from Gallatin texting in. Schefter seems to speculate a lot here lately. I mean, I don't really keep a running tally of Adam Schefter's reports, but this one is just really weird. I mean, it's at the end of the day, is it really that big of a deal if you just say could possibly be out for the season? I mean, I think we all know it's possible that Derrick Henry could be out for the season, but nobody knows yet at this point. So I just don't understand the constant wording and getting that in there on this. Unless it is just a, as you pointed out, a slap fight between him and Rappaport, which is hilarious to think about.
I mean, those guys go back and forth a lot, and whoever gets something, usually the other one is like 8 seconds later, right?
Yep.
And sometimes they have these little nuances in the reporting. I don't know. As Johnny points out, too, by the way, with Schefter, the guy who still thinks the Music City Miracle was a forward pass, even though it's been demonstrated by science to be actually a legal lateral. But so
there is that.
Yeah.
It's like they care more about being first than right, I feel like. Yeah. Let me get it first.
Yeah. When I look, and I think that they break a lot of news, and it's correct. Now, Rappaport did make a mistake with AJ Brown and the Buffalo Bills. So I think he's at times maybe gone out there and taken chances when you shouldn't. For the most part, I think they get it right. But I think that's a great, I mean, that's a like journalism student 101, right?
Yes.
Like, be right. You can be, you know, being first, great. Everybody wants to be first, but do not be first and be wrong.
Robert in Nashville texting in. It's the Titans version of he'll be out 3 to 12 weeks. That does take me back to the nice Carson Wentz timeline we had from the Colts earlier.
Yes.
Where Vrabel says, you know, you got a pretty good chance of being right there. It's good stuff. 5 to 12 weeks.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't follow like closely with those guys on everything. It seems like for the most part, a lot of it is just, this injury or that injury or whatever. I mean, some of the Aaron Rodgers stuff with Schefter was a little off, right? I mean, sometimes things, again, I also like with stuff like that, I mean, people dunked on Charles Robinson left and right on the Dolphins Deshaun Watson thing, and it was real. It didn't happen. So people could come back and say, see, you were wrong. I mean, no, I mean, that was like diligently reported, but frankly, I mean, and I know I'm biased here, but and he doesn't have news fed to him constantly by agents like these guys do, but like there's no comparison in quality of reporter between him and those guys. I'm sorry.
Keith texting in, Komokovic as the nickname now for Michelle Knezovic. I like that.
That's incredible.
Komokovic.
Komokovic. Nice.
Give me more Kokomo here on the show. That's what we've learned here today.
I appreciate you botching the name of that song. It deserves to have its name botched.
Joe Rex Road, favorite song in the universe. That has been the Rex Rant. You can catch it every Monday morning at 7:45 here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Get his thoughts on the Titans' big win against the Rams last night. That's up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.